The opportunities to gamble in New York have dramatically increased over the last two decades, and the options are continuing to grow this year and next, with the number of Powerball and Take 5 lottery drawings increasing and the state poised to implement internet sports wagering. To discuss the darker side of these changes, as well as what the state is doing more broadly to prevent and treat problem gambling, we're joined by Jim Maney, Executive Director of the New York Council on Problem Gambling. Hello, Jim.
Good morning, Dave.
And we also have with us the Council's Assistant Executive Director of Program, Michelle Haddon. Welcome to the show, Michelle.
Hi, Dave. Thanks for having us.
So I want to start with the potentially, I guess, lower stakes change, which is the plan to increase the number of Take 5 and Powerball lottery drawings. What kind of red flag, if any, is this for your organization?
Well, Dave, anytime we see like an increase in availability for gambling opportunities such as this, you know, more frequency, anything of that nature, we do get concerned about the increase in folks who will be actually gambling and then potentially developing problems as a result.
Do you typically see a correlation? And if so, what is the sort of relationship between increased gambling opportunities and increased examples of problem gambling?
We can't look at it separately. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden you can't just say, okay, now changing in the Powerball or, I mean, the expansion of gambling has been going on for years and years, and it's one on top of the other without the proper safeguards put in place, the proper research needed to be done, proper resources that need to be allocated. And so you can't really take a look at, okay, what's going to happen as a result of Powerball, you know, being two times a week, because within everything else, it's changing. The social norms are constantly changing about gambling, you know, what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. So we tend not to view it in that way. We tend to view it overall and not just the, you know, one segment aspect of it.
So when the state announced the expansion of the Take 5 drawings, for example, there was no mention of increased commitment to, say, problem gambling services or plans to invest some of the new revenues in those problem gambling resources. Does that speak to a larger problem with the state's approach to funding and promoting problem gambling treatment and prevention services? Or is that really not the place for the state to advertise those proposals?
I think, you know, we want to see an increase in funding for services across the board. And really, we are not addressing problem gambling prevention, treatment, and recovery in a comprehensive way right now due to inadequate funding. Mm-hmm. So we're constantly advocating for additional funds for problem gambling services and for those folks who are being impacted by the gambling activities in New York State. And so we've seen some of that come through with, you know, various types of new gambling coming on board. But in this instance, no additional funds from that particular.
Dave, I think we have to be honest right up front and saying, you know, this is the only area that New York State really is pushing gambling, right? They expanded and they balanced their budget off of it. And we don't see that in any other addiction, right? Per se, they don't push cigarettes. They don't push alcohol. They tax it. But this is the only one that really that the state is involved with. So fundamentally, right off the get-go, we are behind the eight ball. And problem gamblers and their families, you know, if you think about it, the revenue is so important, and it's hard to regulate it and hard to treat it and hard to make really great decisions on it when we really have to promote it and get people to lose their money to this activity. So right off the top, it is definitely flawed. And I've been doing this for 25 years now, and that's been definitely the number one issue that we've always faced. It's hard to really help folks when we're also, you know, the state of New York is also advertising and promoting the activity. So very difficult.
Well, I want to pivot then to another form of gambling that's going to be coming online probably by the 2022 Super Bowl, and that's internet sports wagering. Earlier this month, we got a request for applications from the state for operators interested in providing the platforms that will make these services possible. Anything from that request from the state grab your attention specifically, or anything that you're thinking about, I guess, more broadly with regards to the advent of mobile sports wagering?
Yeah, Dave, we were very excited to see that problem gambling was addressed in the RFA in the same way that it was with commercial casinos, really looking at how do we implement safeguards. And we were pleased, obviously, that problem gambling was prioritized enough that there are dedicated funds that are going to be coming for services as a result of this form of expansion. Certainly, we always are looking for more regulation, more policy that is there to protect the consumer and protect our state residents from developing issues. And so, you know, we'd love to see, especially, you know, advertising restrictions more so, because we have seen in other countries, Australia and Great Britain, where those the lack of those restrictions is now being corrected because of so many issues that arose from the exposure. So,
Dave, I think one of the most important aspects of that is, you know, they have to recruit new customers, right? Recruit new customers for this. So we have to either find existing gamblers or folks that aren't gambling yet and recruit them to start gambling. And so for us, that's very problematic, just in that idea that we don't have dedicated money for our own ads. You know, once again, we believe that, you know, 10% of every dollar that's spent should go towards counter-advertising. We need to know about, you know, what the safeguards are, what the warning signs are, instead of just a straight on recruitment of new customers. So we're very concerned about that, because it's going to be, you know, one sided. And you think about all the ads you've seen already from, say, DraftKings and FanDuel, they're all over the place. And now they're going to have to put X amount of money more into advertising to get new customers. So we're very concerned. I'm telling you, we're very concerned for the 18 to 40 year old men who are going to be recruited every day, every talk show, every sporting event to come join into this, you know, mobile sports betting. The social norms have changed tremendously just over the last few years, and we believe they're just going to continue to go. And so we definitely are recommending that you need to put some additional 10% of all advertising into counter-advertising. And if we're talking about, you know, $500 million in advertising, whoever gets these things, that's wild.
Well, Michelle mentioned that the plan is to have some sort of dedicated funding from this revenue stream going towards treatment and prevention. Is the dedicated funding enough for what will likely be a dramatic increase in gambling in New York?
Not even close. Well, just as Jim said, in terms of advertising alone, you know, we need much more than what exists currently or what will come as a result of mobile sports betting to support problem gambling services. I mean, the amount of advertising alone that will be done by the industry, we couldn't even begin to match anything of that nature on the problem gambling promotion side.
Yeah, I mean, year three, what are they projecting? $439 or $469 million in revenue? That's a lot of money being lost by New Yorkers. And you think about it, $6 million is not even a poke in the hat as a result of this. I mean, they'll be spending much more money on just advertising. And, you know, for us, we have to continue to advocate for problem gamblers and their families, and especially the folks that are coming up, the young kids that are coming up today that will may or may not be problem gamblers in 10 years from now. And you think about the model is every year they have to recruit new people to get additional money. And people have to lose their money. It's fundamentally flawed how it happens. And then all of a sudden you get, you know, the prevention and treatment, $6 million. I mean, you think about it, doing a marketing campaign in New York City aimed at 18 to 40-year-old men, $6 million wouldn't get you two weekends on WFAN, you know, or anything of advertising. So it's pretty wild that the amount of money that's going to be lost as compared to the amount of money that's going to be put into, you know, help.
The Cuomo administration has been dinged in the past, I believe it was an audit by the state comptroller, for not knowing the full extent of the need for problem gambling services in New York. Do you think they have their arms wrapped around at least the scope of the issue now?
Well, Dave, I don't know that answer. I'm not sure what goes on with the administration. I know that the Office of Alcoholism and Substance Abuse Services is tasked with that mission, and they are doing the best job they possibly can. But I think a lot of times their hands are handcuffed as a result of what's the most important mission, which is to raise revenue. So I think in that area, we don't know the issue. I think if we take a look at the opioid crisis, you know, if we could go back 10 years, we'd go back 10 years. I think we'd do about 20 different things differently, wouldn't we?
Right.
You know, we would change the norm. We would change the way we view pain. We'd change how easy it is to provide medication. We would do law enforcement more. We'd do a bunch of different things. We wouldn't be in today's hole where we are as a result of opioids. That is our concern, too, for problem gamblers and their families. Are we doing enough today? Do we know what the scope is going to be? Dave, you think about it. This mobile sports betting, right? It's going to be faster and quicker in your phone the whole time, a hidden addiction. We'll have no clue what it's going to be like until 5-10 years from now. Are we doing enough to prevent it? Are we doing enough for the research? Do we even know what the technology about is? All we got to do is look into, as Michelle said earlier, we got to look in the other jurisdictions in Europe and Australia, and they're changing the way they're doing a lot of things. They're not showing advertisements anymore during the middle of games because they know that it increases the spike of gambling on slot gambling. So we need to do that stuff now, and I don't think we are taking it as seriously as we should.
If listeners think that they might have a problem and might need help, or listeners might know someone in their life who might need help, is there any resource that you recommend that they call or go to visit online to find help or find tools for help?
Absolutely. We have 7 regional resource centers across the state of New York, and those are solely there to assist individuals and family members. Anyone who thinks they might have a problem or know someone who might have a problem, we're there to provide information, resources, connections to care and services. And those can be found right through the website, which is nyproblemgamblinghelp.org.
Well, we've been speaking with Jim Maney, he's the executive director of the New York Council on Problem Gambling, and Michelle Haddon, assistant executive director of program for the organization. Jim and Michelle, thank you so much for making the time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it also.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.